Let's pray. Father, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify your name here this morning. Speak through your word, show us new things that we need to know, and assure us of your presence and love, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Folks, put up your hand if you've recently done a survey. Who's recently done a survey? I did 3 surveys this week. I just love doing them. They're great, aren't they? Okay. And this week I was doing a particular survey, and there were 3 different sort of responses. If we move on to the next slide here. 3 different responses that you had to put down. You had to put down yes, no, or unsure. Okay, yes, no, or unsure. Yes, no, or unsure. Very simple, isn't it? You know, so for example, if you were asked, have you been to Monaghan? Put up your hand if you're yes. Okay. Put up your hand if you're no. Okay. Very sad. And put up your hand if you're unsure if you've been to Monaghan. Okay. Pat doesn't know if she's been to Monaghan. You'd know if you'd been there, Pat. It's quite an experience. Okay. Now, here's another question. Would you like to go to Monaghan with me? Yes. Put up your hand if you'd like to go to Monaghan with me. I'm amazed. Oh, fantastic. There's a good Indian there. Okay, say no, you would absolutely not like to go to Monaghan with me. Yeah, Yvonne's put her hand up. There we go. Okay, right. And maybe unsure. Okay, who'd be unsure? Okay, you're still trying to work me out or trying to work the place out. Okay, fantastic. Okay. Well, what about, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, if I said to you, are you going to heaven? Are you going to heaven? Would it be yes? Would it be no? Or would it be unsure? Yes, no, or unsure? It's a very important question, isn't it? Yes, no, or unsure? Are you going to heaven? Now, if you listen to Paul here, as Yvonne's just read to us, do you think he is sure of going to heaven? He says this, for I'm already been poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Put up your hand if you think Paul's a yes. Yes. He's absolutely sure that he's going to heaven. Are you? Are you absolutely sure that you are? Now, as you know, I studied as a teacher and had one whole day of teaching to primary school children who I wasn't even trained to teach. But anyway, the one thing that I did learn from being a business studies teacher is the difference between insurance and assurance. Who knows the difference between insurance and assurance? Some of us do, okay. Well, the difference is that we insure against fire, don't we? A fire, our house going on fire. We insure against our phone screen getting broke or liquid damage. We insure against somebody stealing our phone. We're insuring against things that may happen. That's why it's insure. We're insuring against things that may happen. While assurance is that we are making provision for things that will happen. Okay? We will die. We will leave this world. And the question is, what provision are we making? I'll never forget this guy, and I'm not going to do it this morning, but he was at Summer Madness a number of years ago. He's fantastic. I think his name is Phil Ginadu, was his name, the speaker. And he talked emotionally for about, I don't know, about 15 minutes about a condition he had, okay? And I'm going to ruin it for you, so if he ever uses this illustration, act surprised. But he talked about a condition he had called EDS, and he talked about how every day he lived with it, and actually it was a fatal disease, and he talked and talked and talked. EDS, anyone want to suggest what it stands for? Everybody dies sometime. Okay, everybody dies sometime. Are we prepared? Are we assured for what lies ahead of us? Put up your hand if anyone's read this little book. Anyone? Anyone read this book? No? It's called The Boy Matthew. The Boy Matthew. Anyone read it? Yeah. Folks, I'd really recommend this book. Fantastic book. It's the story of a couple who I'm sure many of us in the parish know, Phyllis and Hertford Arnold. Do we know these people? Who, of their 4 children, they lost 2 children. And then during the pandemic, They lost a lovely young man called Matthew, and I know many of you know this young man. There's a lovely part of it just here on page 19 of it when you get it, where it speaks about his mummy, Phyllis, worried about him on a motorbike. I'm sure many of mothers here know that feeling, worried about him on a motorbike. And let me just read it to you. I cautiously answered, "Matthew, as far as bikes go, that bike is probably top of the shelf, but I'm so nervous that even standing here looking at it makes the hairs on my arm stand up. All I can see is a lethal weapon that could take your life. Remember, Matthew, your daddy and I have already lost two sons. We could not live if anything should happen to you." By this time, I was in floods of tears. Matthew walked over to me, and with a wee soft cloth in his hand with which he'd been polishing the windscreen, he said, "Mum, don't be worrying. Everything will be okay. And anyway, Mum, if anything ever happens to me on this bike, you'll know where I am. Sorry, you'll know where I will be." We threw our arms around each other and hugged tightly. Still in a tight embrace, I asked, "Are you sure, Matthew? Are you really sure?" His answer was almost a shout, as if to emphasize his certainty. "Yes, Mum, I'm really sure." Now, the reality is that story is a sad ending because Matthew does die on that bike. But the reality is it's not that sad an ending ultimately because he was really, really sure of where he was going. The question is, are you and am I sure? Apparently, when they were building the Golden Gate Bridge, with all the scaffolding and all around that. Where is the Golden Gate Bridge? Over? Oh, yeah, San Francisco Bay. Okay, yeah, okay. Well, lots of people were falling from it and losing their lives. And what was suggested was to buy a great big net, but it was incredibly expensive, but they ended up deciding it had to be done. And people did still fall off the scaffolding, but they were caught then by the net. And the amazing thing was, they made more than the money back because productivity went through the roof because people were no longer living in fear of falling. What difference would it make to our church? What difference would it make to your life if you were sure that Christ was our hope in life and death? What difference would it make if you were absolutely sure to be sure to be sure? I want to show you a little diagram if we move to the next slide. Now, I stole this off just a wee old tract, okay? You know those tracts you get that I found in my office. And the suggestion is that this is kind of a building, a solid building, that even when the earthquakes come, that this will give us rock-solid assurance of our salvation. That these elements, you know, based on the foundation of the Bible's authority, these important pillars of Christ, faith, the obedience, love, and the capstone of the Spirit's assurance will make for a rock-solid Christian experience of assurance. So I want to just look at that very briefly this morning. There's so much more I'd be able to say this. I actually walked around my house and preached a two-hour sermon, which I'm not going to preach this morning, on this to myself. So I'm saved and I'm assured by the end of it because I heard a two-hour sermon from myself on it. Okay, now the first thing I want us to think about is that foundation of the Bible's authority. Do we really believe this word has authority? Do we really believe it? Do we believe that this word is more firm and solid than what the politicians say, what the doctors say, what anybody says? Do we believe that this has ultimate authority? Do we really believe that? Because if we're going to be rock solid in our faith, we need to believe what this book says. If we move to the next slide, I love this scripture from 1 John 5. Verse 13, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." These things are written in 1 John that you would be assured completely that you have eternal life. But here's the problem. Lots of Christians don't read the Bible. Lots and lots and lots of Christians don't read the Bible. Lots of Christians haven't read this book and lived in this book in a way that will give them assurance. I love what a writer called Oz Guinness says. He says, "Faith does not feed on thin air, but on facts." This is not new, but it needs to be so in our lives that this is the foundation of our assurance. Because we do not feed on thin air, and we don't feed on Emmerdale or EastEnders or even the good stuff like, you know, Line of Duty. We don't feed on those things. It's on this that we build. You know, you learned it at Sunday school, didn't you? Jesus loves me. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. We have to read this thing, or we're going to end up being like my mother-in-law once, whose phone was switched off and she was wondering why she wasn't getting any texts about her birthday. All right? You have to switch it on. You have to open it up. Eat it up. Believe it. These things are written so that you may know you have eternal life. And Jesus even gave us a parable about this. He says, that's building on rock. The other things are building on sand. And emotion is a poor storehouse. It has to be the Bible's authority. I know he loves me. How? Because the Bible tells me so. The second we think, if we move back to our, or move forward, sorry, in our presentation, but back to our diagram, is Christ. Is Christ and Christ's work. You know, it's fascinating. There was a guy in theological college with me who didn't agree with assurance and the concept of insurance. He thought it was a kind of arrogance to say that I know I'm a Christian and I know I'm going to heaven. He thought saying that sort of thing, you know where I'll be, Mum, was a kind of arrogance. Well, who says you're good enough and other people aren't, you know? That's how he felt about it. But it's quite the opposite, isn't it, folks? Because you see, if you say I'm unsure, what are you actually saying? Okay? If you tick the box unsure, what you're actually saying is, well, I'm not absolutely 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure I'm better than other people, so I think I'll probably get to heaven. Okay? Now, folks, that's actually arrogance, isn't it? Because what you're saying is, I know, I'm not sure, but I think I'm better than most people. That's a kind of arrogance, isn't it? While there's no arrogance at all in saying, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not good enough. But I also know that Jesus has done all the work. That he became sin so that I could become the righteousness of God. That's not arrogance. I love what Alistair Begg said. He said, it's not a matter of personal arrogance, but of biblical confidence. The biblical confidence is that when we go to those kind of figurative gates of heaven, we don't say, I should get in because I have done this and I have done that and I have done the other. We go and say, because Christ has done it. I love that. I don't know if anybody uses the Bible notes of Robert Murray McShane. But Robert Murray McShane also wrote hymns. And I love the words of this hymn, if we move to the next slide. And this hymn is called When This Passing World Is Done. Listen to these words. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty, not my own. When I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Look at that. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty, not my own. When I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. There's no arrogance here. It's all based on Christ's work, what he's done for us. And actually, to say unsure is the real arrogance. To say what John Newton said, he said, although my memory's fading, two things I am sure of, that I am a great sinner and he is a great saviour. That's not arrogance. But it's a great way to build your life to be assured, knowing that when Simon messes up, his salvation isn't in jeopardy because he's trusting in the finished work of Jesus. Is that you? Is that you? Are you doing that? The next little pillar in this unshakable building of assurance, built on the Bible's authority and Christ's work, is personal faith. Personal faith. 1 John 5 verse 13, you remember what it said? That I write these things who have trusted in the Lord Jesus that you might know. It's written to people who have trusted in the Lord Jesus. It's written to an audience. And the word for faith in that passage is linked with the word pistis, which is to do with active faith, active faith. And we must have made a decision. We might know the day and hour of that decision, and that's absolutely fine. And don't let that strip away your assurance. But we need to have made a decision to trust not in ourselves, but in the work of Christ. Have we done it? You know, again, going back to this book, and I really want to encourage anybody who struggles with assurance to get this book and read this book, Boy Matthew by Phyllis and Hertford Arnold. I just love a part of this book where after Matthew has lost his life and his Christian mum and dad are going through all the things that people would go through, here's what it says. Even though we listened to the word of God, and they were trusting in the Bible's authority, and it brought us some comfort, the enemy, the devil, was not far away. Just as the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, he came at us like a roaring lion, seeking to devour us. Satan began to put awful thoughts into my head and say, you'll never see Matthew again. He's gone forever. You only think he was saved. He's not in heaven, for there's no such a thing as heaven. These were horrific and tormenting thoughts, even though I knew deep down that they came from the pit of the devil. He is a liar, and he was wrong. And I also knew that God would have the last laugh at him, for he promised, blessed are thee that weep now, for they shall laugh. And it goes on about how she prayed for assurance. And the beautiful thing is, do you remember for a time we were all watching the screen for the worship? There was no live worship. Do you remember that wee season we had? Well, in this Free Presbyterian Church, the same was going on. They were watching videos from previous times. And, you know, she rang the pastor because she was having such a feeling of no assurance that her son was in heaven. And as she rang the pastor, he told her about that Sunday morning in his church. And he said that Sunday morning in his church, they had used a video. And the video that they'd used on the screen was Blessed Assurance, okay? And in the middle of the footage, their son was singing it. And he was singing it out so loud and so proud. And they were able to see this video and see that their son had blessed assurance. And that he was in heaven. Faith, personal faith. Do you have it? Have you had that moment where you have put it into activity? We haven't just said, well, yeah, I do believe that Jesus died. Yeah, I do believe that. But have you actually made it your own? So you were trusting in it and nothing else. Have you done that? The next wee leg here is obedience. A.W. Tozer says this, the man or woman who believes will obey. A failure to obey is convincing proof that there is no faith present. Obedience will flow out. We should be able to look back at times where the Lord has told us to do things and we have changed our direction. That's assurance that he's been speaking into our lives. You know, I love a wee story that D.L. Moody tells. And they find an old woman's Bible after she's died in her things, you know. And they flick through the Bible and on every single page it says TP. Okay, TP. And nobody had a clue what it meant, because TP, I thought that stood for toilet paper. Okay, nobody had a clue what this means, TP. And they asked her pastor, he didn't know, asked some of her friends, they didn't know. But they ended up speaking to somebody who she wrote letters to. And you know what it meant? Tried and proven. Tried and proven. So she read the Word of God. I'm not sure sometimes people do this enough anymore. But she read the Word of God and she said, right, I'm going to do that. And then she wrote, tried and proven. Tried and proven. Are we obedient? Now, folks, don't hear me, because I don't want to undermine truly saved people here by saying that because we're not perfect, we're not saved. I'm not saying that. This is a matter not of perfection, but of direction, okay? Not of perfection, but of direction. Are you a person who is reading the word and actually making changes in your lives and seeing victory as you move forward because you're trusting in him? You know, we read about tithing, do we tithe? We read about forgiveness, do we forgive? We read about quality of relationships, do we try and amend the quality of those relationships? Are we doing that? Obedience. We read about, as Richard said, not being afraid to give an answer to our hope. Are we trying to put into action sharing our faith? Not a matter of perfection, because none of us would feel perfect in any of these areas, but direction. Do we have the desire to be obedient to him? That will give us a sense of assurance that we have tried it and proved it. Next leg, love for your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. If we move to the next slide, we'll see a scripture here. Try again. Yeah. Aha! 1 John 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love each other. You know, the church sometimes, it's not a good example of a loving community. And as we love one another, we'll be assured of our salvation, because whoever does not love abides in death. Do we have a heart for the church? You know, when I hear people saying that really, you know, and right across the island and in the UK, right across the world, really, you're hearing about people saying, well, I don't feel I need to go back to church. Where's their love for their brothers and sisters? And where's our love to add to the church as well? Love. And then set on top of all of this in our building. You know, if you look at that, hopefully we get the wee diagram up again, guys, thank you. We've set it all on the Bible's authority. He said it, I believe it. We've got the work of Christ. We've got personal faith. We've got obedience, where we're seeing victory as we move forward in the direction of our Christian lives. And we're loving our brothers and sisters. And set on top of it all is the capstone of the Holy Spirit's assurance. This is just so very important. I love that. I was reading a passage just a couple of nights ago from Psalm 35. And listen to what it says. It says, contend, O Lord, with those who contend for me, with me. Fight against those who fight against me. This is David speaking. Take hold of shield and buckler and rise for my help. So what you can hear there, draw the spear and javelin against my pursuers. What you can hear there is he's in trouble. He's really in trouble. Things are going badly wrong. But listen to this. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Imagine that, David saying to God, God, say to my soul, I am your salvation. What's he saying? He's saying, God, I don't feel saved. I don't feel safe. So Holy Spirit, speak into my soul. This is a deep thing. Speak into my soul. I am thy salvation. This is the Spirit's assurance. We read about it in the New Testament in Romans 8, verse 16. It says, the Spirit of God testifies within us that we are God's children. We need to slow down and listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying. You're God's child. The voice within you is the capstone of it all. I just loved this. I took a wee note of it from Martin Luther. And here's what he says, Martin Luther. He says, the law scolds us. Sin screams at us. Death thunders at us and the devil roars at us. And in the midst of the clamor, the Spirit of Christ cries in our hearts, Abba, Father. You got that? The law scolds us. Sin screams at us. Death thunders at us. The devil roars at us. In the midst of the clamor, the Spirit of Christ cries in our hearts, Abba, Father. Martin Luther said that. Folks, can I encourage you? Read your Bible. That's fundamental, foundational stuff. But read your Bible. Faith's not built on thin air, but on facts. Trust in Christ. Fully, wholly, completely put your whole hope on Christ. Personal faith. Obedience to his word. Love. And then wait on the Holy Spirit for his assurance. You know, folks, there's two things here, I suppose, in a sense. It's possible that we're here and we've never been saved. And there's nothing we can really do unless we trust in Christ, because that's the basis of the whole thing. Have you trusted in Christ? But there's some of us who have just not been active enough, pistis enough in our faith to walk it out. You know, it's sad. There was a diet a while ago, a smoothie diet. I'm sure none of you were on this, where you didn't eat anything, but you just drank smoothies. Do you know, the body stopped processing food properly. The saliva and all that stopped processing the food properly, and it damaged your body. So that now people who were on that smoothie diet, some of them can't eat solids anymore. They're like wee babies again. You can lose it if you don't use it. And we can lose that sense of assurance if we're not walking the path of Christ. Assurance isn't essential to salvation, but it's essential to your enjoyment of being a Christian. To know that there's a net. To know that you don't need to be afraid. Just before we finish, I love this. If we just move to the next slide. An old preacher called J.C. Ryle, he talks about Paul's blessed assurance from that passage that Yvonne read to us. Do you remember it? Where it said in 2 Timothy, I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Here's what J.C. Ryle says. He says, Paul's blessed assurance came with a look down to the grave. Down to the grave. He talks about three glances. A glance down to the grave. I don't need to be afraid. The time of my departure has come. I'm not afraid of the grave anymore. Christ, my hope in life and death. We sang that, didn't we, during the pandemic? Christ, my hope in life and death. Don't need to be afraid of the grave. He took a glance down. Then he took a glance back over his life. And here's what he says. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Evidence of a walk with Jesus. Hey, we don't get saved because of what we've done for Jesus. We get saved because of what he's done for us. But evidence of the change that Jesus has made in his life. And I look forward. What's he glancing forward at? It says this, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown. Do you look forward to the crown? You really can. And you can really know. To be sure. I'm Irish, so I can say that. Okay, to be sure that you're saved. Let's stand together. Folks, we're about to move towards Holy Communion. And as we move towards Holy Communion, here's the two things I just want you to ready yourself in your heart. Do I love the Lord Jesus? Am I trusting in the Lord Jesus? Is that the direction that I want my heart to point in? Do I know my need of his grace? Am I a person who wants Lord Jesus to be Lord and Savior? Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come, that you would convict, that you would encourage, that you would seal, that we could walk out of this place ready to structure our lives in a way that we know to be sure that we are going to heaven. Holy Spirit, testify within people that they're God's children. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.